Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
I hope you are having a good summer. Maybe you're like me and you kicked off with holidays right at the start and like got a whole bunch of stuff done and out of the way, and it's like, whoo, and now you can kind of relax, and maybe it's more like connecting with people. Maybe that's kind of your focus now, which I'm excited for, because I'm excited for that today because I'm actually expecting a guest today. So I'm very excited for when my guest comes, and it's going to... Oh, he's here. Okay. Ah, oh, here we go, you guys. Jesus!
Oh, John, yes! David.
Yes!
So great to see you, my son. Wow, oh, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me into your home.
You're looking great, too.
Oh,
wow, the summer really lightens
the
hair.
Oh, thank you. How has your summer been?
Oh, it's been awesome.
Oh, that's
amazing. Come in.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is my front room.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Look at
this. So we got some new couches, mm-hmm. new painting, no big deal.
I love what you've done with the place.
Right? It's mm-hmm. Well, we try.
You know, everything's nice together, all where it should be. It looks perfect. It looks perfect.
Thank you.
Almost too perfect.
No. How's it going?
Very good.
Let's talk.
This is a lovely room, but I'd love to see the rest of your house.
I'm sorry, what?
The rest of your home. JD, you invited me into your home. I would love to see the other rooms in your home.
True. I just thought we'd just hang out in this really nice room right here.
Oh, and
it's
this
comfy.
This room does look nice. Everything's well together, but there's so much more to your home.
Oh.
Why don't you show me around?
Okay. I guess I could show you my kitchen.
I would love to see your kitchen.
Sorry, I don't know whose bottle that is, but this is my kitchen.
Yes. What a lovely kitchen you have here.
Thank you.
I love the lighting. Oh, the countertops look excellent. Yeah. Well done. Very nice.
It's pretty good. It's all coming together. I mean, I got that stupid leaky faucet. I cannot figure it out. I've tried, but
you know I could fix that for you.
You could fix that?
Of course I could. Yes,
really?
I could.
You'd do that for me?
I would do that for you.
Of course,
I could fix that. No problem.
Huh. That would be awesome.
What about another room in your home?
Oh.
Perhaps maybe the bedroom.
You want to see my bedroom?
Well,
okay.
It's another room in your home, JD. I'd love to see it.
Jesus. Oh, okay. Just let me make the bed. Sorry, yes. I didn't expect Jesus in my bedroom.
Well, so. Here I am.
Yeah, you know.
JD, we spend over 60% of our lives in the bedroom. It's a very important room. I'd love to see more.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, it is a nice room.
Nice bed.
Yeah, everything's
good
great.
Space.
Only thing that's annoying to me is this dumb closet. The door always sticks. And
this one right here?
Yeah.
It sticks. Well, let me take a look at
that.
Oh, no,
you don't need to. Oh,
whoa.
Man. Oh, sorry. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of messy.
Yes. A lot of things in your closet.
It's true. But, you know, I don't know what is wrong with it. It just always sticks.
Oh, JD, it's the frame. Look at that. You know, I come in here, adjust it a bit. I can get that closing. No problem for you.
I would not even have known that. Okay.
Of course.
Really?
No problem.
Huh. Okay.
I can handle that.
That's awesome. You know what? Let me show you my garage.
Your garage. Oh, man's garage.
I like my
garage.
You know,
his castle, his kingdom.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yes.
I got a lot of stuff going on. I got some projects. You know, I'm going to finish this one pretty quick.
And how long have you been working on that?
Like
13 months.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, I guess you know everything.
It's
fair.
Yes, it's in
Yeah, so there's that and obviously all my other stuff, but it's just chaos in here. I know.
Oh, I could organize that for you.
You know, you could organize that. I cannot figure out an efficient way to do
it. JD, I am the king of order. I could just move everything around, put it in good spots. I can get this looking good in no time.
That would be amazing.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I think that's kind of all the rooms.
That's it. Yeah. What about the basement?
Why do you want to see the basement?
It's not even finished. It's a very important room of the house. I would love it for you to show it to me.
Okay, Jesus. Here's the basement.
Wow. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
You have a lot of things in here.
I am not a hoarder, no matter what people say.
Well, I just see what I see.
I just have a hard time letting go of things.
Letting go, yes, like this box of magazines here, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yes. Ah, what do we have in here? Oh, grudges. Yes, we'll get rid of that. What is it? Guilt. Guilt. We don't need that. Ah, yes, shame.
Yeah, well, shame. You know, I got a monthly subscription.
Well, I know you do, but we
what are you gonna do?
What we're going to do is we are gonna clear this all out.
All of it?
All of this needs to go.
What,
yes.
What?
Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot, but all of it needs to go.
Oh,
it must happen.
Man. I mean, I guess if you think that's what I do.
We gotta move some boxes. Oh, yeah. Have you noticed the crack in your wall here too?
No, I don't really look over there. I just shove things.
You just shove things in the corner. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
JD, that's a foundation crack.
Is that bad? Is that serious?
That's very bad. We need to fix that immediately, too.
Oh, that's going to be a lot.
It's going to be a lot of work and a lot of rooms here. There's a lot of things we need to do.
Okay. You know what, Jesus? Please, if you would fix that for me, I would
love to fix that for
Excellent.
You.
Okay, well, yeah. We've got a lot to do, but that should be it.
You think that's it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing else you want to show me?
Nothing
at all?
No. No, we're good. We're good.
What about this hidden crawl space? You know, the one your wife doesn't even know about?
How did... it's nothing. It's just, you know, I just keep that in mind. It's no,
May
no,
I?
It's no big deal.
May I?
Could, you
do you mind? Please, allow me.
Okay. Ha, 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 ha.
Just
oh, boy.
To clear things up. Yes. Ooh, what do we have here? And what do you think this might be?
It's just...
That just ended up in there?
It's just stuff that I didn't think it would be a big deal. It's just I put it out of the way, and I don't need to worry about it.
May I?
Okay.
Okay. Let me see. What do we have in here? Father wounds. Not good. Not good. Ooh, secret sin. That's been there for a while, hasn't it? Yes. Oh, some vows. You have some vows in here you've made to yourself. Ooh, I'm not trustworthy. I'll never fit in. I have nothing to offer. Why are you hanging on to these things?
I just figured if I tucked it away, out of sight, out of mind, no big deal, right? It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a
big deal, yes. JD, this stuff will poison your entire home.
Really?
Really.
Oh, okay. Jesus, will you help me with this?
I can fix this. Matter of fact, I can fix all of this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let me get my tools. I'll be right back.
Great. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, okay.
See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Man, this verse has wrecked me, and I cannot escape this verse. I don't know about you, but I just, like, once this really hit me, like, I could not escape this verse. It is, like, just a nugget, a good hidden nugget in the Bible that holds so much power. It holds so much power. And if you notice the progression as we jump in today, search me, right? Reveal what's wrong, remove what's wrong, lead me into something better. That is a renovation of the heart. And that's what I want to talk about today, the renovation of the heart. In fact, Dallas Willard has a book called Renovation of the Heart, and in it it says, the human heart, will, or spirit is the executive center of a human life. The heart is where decisions and choices are made for the whole person. This is why God aims his transforming work there first. So, you know, that skit that we started off with, big props to Colton. Gotta love Ginger Jesus. It's great. So, but, you know, that came from just a lot of conversations that I have had with guys over the last few years. And this analogy just kept coming up. And I would share it and I would share it. And it would kind of flesh itself out more and more. And I just was like, there is something there God is putting in me that I think I need to share. And so I want to kind of unpack that a bit. Because I think that's an essential aspect of following Jesus, is coming into our home, allowing him into every room of our life, letting him take up residence and transforming it according to how he wants. Ephesians 3:16-17. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he would empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then, and this is the important part, maybe say this with me, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. As I place my trust in Jesus, as I lay that over, he is actually taking up residence in the core of who I am, my heart. But what does that require of me? In the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, he has this great analogy which coincides with the skit. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he's building quite a different house from the one you thought of. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. You know, if you haven't figured this out yet or you're new to following Jesus, it isn't an easy path. Like authentically following, I'm not talking like dip your toe in the water. I'm a Christian. I come on Easter Sunday. Like I don't think about him. I'm talking if you're actually following Jesus, like it will require a lot. It can be a painful process to be refined and cleaned up because that's what he wants to do. Sorry to let you know, you are not perfect and just amazing just the way you are. You need more. I know all the songs tell us that you're amazing just the way you are, but no, we need work. We all need work. In fact, there's a phrase we've used for years, which is come as you are, but don't stay that way. Come into church, come into a relationship with Jesus as you are. You don't have to get it all figured out first. Some people are like, I can't get baptized till I get my life right. It's like, why would you have a shower before you need a bath? Like, just get in. Just go for it. Get baptized if you haven't. But the idea there is like, we are required into something deeper, and God wants to do some deep work in us, and it's amazing. In fact, David, who wrote that, search me, God, you know, then that he continues in Psalm 51, which is a very vulnerable time of his life. He's just gone through some stuff that is his own fault. And he's at a place of real desperation to God. And he says, I'm going to look at the different words here. Maybe you can even, any of them that are bolded, you can say them with me, because these are, I think, renovation words. So purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Wow. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Purify, wash, break, remove, create, renew, restore. It sounds like renovation. And renovation is messy. If you've done renovations, you know before it gets beautiful, things have to get ugly. Dust, torn walls, unexpected rotten mold, a cracked foundation. You can show a picture. My friend Peter found out. They've been working on this. I've been over there too. And they had to dig this all out to get down to the weeping tile and because they've got to fix all these foundation issues. It's a pain in the butt. But a fun thing too I love is that while it was all clear, they sprayed verses that they spray painted just verses of like blessing and protection and just things like that over the home. Because the point is, we can't do this all on our own. We are relying on Jesus in every aspect of our life. And they can't ignore those problems. There are some you can try to ignore. But you can't ignore, the bigger they get, the whatever, you can try, but it's gonna create chaos as it leaks into your basement or whatever it might be. And when it comes to our heart and our life, we will wear ourselves out trying to do it all ourselves. Trying to do it alone. We need Jesus. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Jesus, when he shows up at your house, when he walks through that door, he walks in with work gloves, ready to go. He is ready to go because you've invited him in. He intends to live there himself, and he's got some specifications for what it should look like then, if he's going to actually take up residence. If you're serious, Jesus, be the Lord of my heart, come into my heart. He's like, okay, but I can't just leave it the way you got it because I can't live in this. He wants to make it better. He wants to change us. But he doesn't force his way in or overstep. Revelation 3:20, look, I stand at the door and what? I knock. Now, a fun fact is, he's not talking to like unsaved people, like non-Christians. He's talking to the church, which implies you are capable of leaving Jesus on the front porch, even if you say he's the Lord of your life. And he's like, I'm knocking. Hello. Do you actually want me to come in? I got my tools. I'm ready to go. And we have to decide, are we going to let him? Because he won't renovate hearts. He's not allowed to enter. He's a gentleman. He waits for permission to do what only he can do. And he loves your house. He loves your life. He loves your heart. He designed it. He knows the way it's supposed to be. And if he's welcomed, then he will make a home in your heart, but he will not leave it in disrepair. He doesn't want to come in and just hang out in the nice little front room and ignore everything else like you do. He's like, I know exactly what's going on here, and I have a palace in mind. So he's not also sitting there going, ugh, look at you. He knows, and he loves you anyways. And he's like, I've got something bigger and better. Will you let me? Jesus renovates to make new, something beautiful and clean and bigger and more grand than we ever expected. That's the beautiful part of following him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Now, I've watched Jesus do a lot in my life and in others. Free people. I don't smoke anymore. I don't swear anymore. I haven't looked at porn in years. I have integrity in business for the first time. I'm a different person, and it feels amazing. These are the stories I hear over and over and over. You know, I remember when I first moved out for the first time and moved in with roommates, you know, three guys. I don't know how clean it was ever going to be, but there was, within the first few weeks, I just had this bug, and I was like, I'm going to clean. And I just cleaned the whole house. I don't know if I've ever done that, but I just cleaned the whole place. I was by myself, got it all done, and I remember just sitting on the couch late at night, and it was just like, because clean feels good. Some of you, it's like you're clean freaks, and you know that, but some of you aren't, but you know when you put in the effort, it's like, all right, yeah, this was a pain in the butt, but this actually does feel really good. It feels good. It feels right. Last year when I did Freedom Session, and I know you're hearing about it a lot because we just want to kick it down your throat till you do it. If I could force every person in this room to do it, I would make you, but I don't want to make you. I want you to choose it by the grace of God because it will change your life. And when I did it last year, that was exactly it. It was a deep internal renovation that transformed so much in me and found so much, and it was hard, but it was amazing. And here's why. First Timothy 1:5. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart. Not everyone's doing it. Come on, you can do this today. That comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. Oh, imagine functioning in godly love with a pure heart. Like, what would that feel like to just be like, God, I actually feel clean inside. Like, I've dealt with these things, and it's different, and I can just breathe. This weight is off. Like, there is something. This is amazing. Why did I wait so long to do this? He can do a beautiful thing. Imagine not having lingering guilt hanging over you or second-guessing your own motives. Or how much can I encourage someone else when I know I'm not fully doing it myself? Imagine if you were fully doing it. And you could honestly just encourage people because you've overcome this or you're functioning in full integrity in this. That would be amazing. And some of you know that feeling. There are some incredible people in here. Nobody here is perfect. But there are people here who have done the work and are just incredible men and women of God who walk in integrity. They're not perfect, but they're walking in integrity and always coming back to God. And it's a beautiful thing. And it is so much easier to maintain a home that has regular cleaning, right? Maybe you got your kids doing their chores every week and different things. Like, regular cleaning is a lot easier than we've left this forever and you just like, I don't even know where to start. Like, I don't even know where to begin with this gong show, this chaos. And that's what our heart can feel like too. God, I'm coming in here and I'm ready to give my life to you, or maybe I have recently, but my life, my heart is a mess and I can't show anybody. And Jesus is like, I already know. Why don't you let me in anyways? I can work with this. I can fix this. We all need a deep clean of the heart. And you can't leave dripping faucets and cracks in the foundation and radioactive material sitting in our lives. And we can't leave it hidden away. Why? Because dirty is deadly. Mark 7, 20-23, this is Jesus. Oh, Jesus, he just goes for it. It is what comes from inside you that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. And to some degree or another, we all got at least one of those that we're working on right now. Or not working on, but we know it's there. You got to remember when you said yes to Jesus, and this is really important because some people think, I prayed a prayer, I said yes to Jesus, now I'm good. I just got to show up at church every Sunday and check off the attendance thing and I'm good. Or maybe remember, no. You got to understand when you said yes to Jesus, the Bible talks about how you once belonged to the enemy. Okay? You belong to the devil. If you don't belong to Jesus, you belong to him. You live in that realm, whether you acknowledge it or not or know it. But the point is, when you left this camp, the enemy's camp, and you placed yourself as you said yes to Jesus and you became a child of God in the kingdom of light, you left that camp, but not everything from camp left you. So Jesus, in a moment, can save you, and you are transformed, you are justified, but you still need to be sanctified, which just means the working out, the process of holiness. Because things from that other camp, there are tethers that are still attached to you. You are living in the light. You are walking in this kingdom, but there are things maybe on your life that you don't even realize that are still attaching you to that other camp. It's why you react certain ways that are unexplainable. When someone brings up a person or a topic, it just fills you with rage. Or you shut down and you're like, I don't know why, I'm not talking about this. There's something there. It's like, I can't give a pot. Or I worry my kids are going to die every day. Or whatever it might be. There are just things, fear or anger or lust. There's certain things and you're like, it's an all the time thing or it's a sometime thing. And it's an easy trigger, which, by the way, if I can just say, in my opinion, I don't think Christians can have triggers or should have triggers. Like, those are all things that the pressure points of the Holy Spirit saying, let me help you with that. And if we go, no, it's just my trigger. Don't talk to me about it. You are doing the opposite of what God wants to do in your life. So no, I believe no Christian should own the phrase, I have triggers. No, there are areas you haven't given over completely to Jesus to let fully heal yet, and you need to. And I know they're hard, but Jesus can heal every crack in the foundation, for what that's worth. We need to be cleaned. We need the tethers, those roots from the enemy that are still holding us in place, to be severed. Psalm 19:12. How can I know all the sin lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Tucked away. I know they're there. I bet there's some things you don't fully know. In fact, I know that can be the case for people until you go through some real deep cleansing prayer and it's like, I didn't even know that was in me. But there is. There's radioactive material that needs to be dealt with. So I want to encourage you, you know, even at the end of service, come up for prayer. Our pastoral team, our prayer team, we want to pray for you because we want to do this with you. And you're not going to figure it out just listening to a nice little Christian TED talk and leaving. That's not the point of this. We're doing life together. You need freedom, and we want to walk that through with you. There should be way, I'm just saying, I think there should be way more people on Sundays coming up. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? That should be the culture here. And we're ready to go for you, and I'll mention it again at the end. But get some prayer. Schedule some deep, clean prayers. You can come talk to me. You can talk to some of our team. I just had the beautiful opportunity, a month or two ago, to do that with another couple who are just like, yeah, we've got stuff from our past, tarot cards, things like that I know. I think those are roots that need to go. Can we pray that out? We don't know how to pray that out. And we're like, yeah. So myself and a friend came, and it was a process. It was an evening. It was a beautiful evening. It was a hard evening. It was a beautiful evening, no? Of Jesus just cleansing deep, deep stuff that now they can walk in absolute freedom in that area. But it took some renovation, and it took some time. So we need to step into those things. Because until you let Jesus shine light on you, you might not even know there's areas that you're still bound. You might know, you might acknowledge it, but don't want to talk about it. You might be in denial, or you might honestly not even realize. But I'm just saying, whether you are you're walking into this a complete train wreck, or you are a good, strong Christian follower, I am genuinely following Jesus, I'm clean, we still got to look. What else is there, Jesus? Or what door did I open in the last couple weeks and something new came in and started making a mess again? We got to look at this stuff. We can't paint over it by just trying to be a nice person. I'll just try harder to be a nice person. That doesn't solve the problems. We need help excavating roots, and I think that comes through prayer. And so I'm gently calling you out that in a loving way of just saying that if you've got radioactive material in your life, in your heart, you can tuck it away all you want, and you can have God in your home still and do stuff, but if you would let him go fully deep, he can fully cleanse from the things that are still bringing poison, slowly seeping into every part of our life. Hidden sin. Looking at porn, sex outside of marriage, it's a poison coming in that you can follow God in many ways, but it's like it's not lining up with what God wants for you, and we want to bring every area, identity struggles, intrusive thoughts that take you down rabbit holes and weird TikTok trails, whatever. Like, there are just things that I don't really talk about it or whatever, but it's there. It is poisoning. Doorways to the demonic, man. I've talked about this before, but tarot, psychics, Ouija, crystals, Freemasonry, there's a whole list. I could tick off a lot of people, but those are things that we think are maybe even harmless. Some of them are not, but it's weird how much we've allowed. And if that's your past, you can be like, I'm made new in Jesus. I'm a new person. Yes, you are. But you still need to figure out how to walk in all that by cleansing the stuff and getting rid of the tethers that are holding you to your old camp. God is ready and able to deal with all of it because he's got a sledgehammer and he's ready to go. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Take out a stony, stubborn heart. Does not sound like an easy thing to do. That sounds like work. It sounds like renovation to me. Would we let God do that? Okay, God, you said you're willing. I know there's areas. I got a stony, stubborn heart. Would you help me with this? And he's like, yeah, I can fix that, but it's going to get messy. Are you willing to go through the process? Yeah, let's do it. And then you just choose to commit because God is a loving God who will work and do a beautiful thing in us. We want to let Jesus into our heart fully in every aspect, in every room of our house. Now, I just want to hit a couple of these quick, but the front room, we talked about that, the living room, that first, in your life, the first impression, the public persona or reputation, your social media presentation, how you are in the church foyer maybe, polished versions of ourselves. Jesus has something to say about that, Matthew 23. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? Yes, he's talking to them specifically, but I think this applies to anyone who can be religious in the wrong way. Hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. So Jesus loves you enough to call you out. He loves me enough to call me out in the areas of my life. He's like, you look good on the outside. You got this together in many ways, but there's this and this. Can we deal with that? Do we present ourselves one way Sunday morning that's different than Saturday night? That's between you and God. But God also knows. Jesus is calling us out because he knows what's hidden in those hidden rooms. Hebrews 4:13. I'm just hitting you with the hard stuff because I love you and this is good and we need it so Jesus can do a good work. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. He knows, he cares, and he's like, let's work on this. Jesus knows and he loves you anyway. And he wants to do more than just spruce up your life. He wants to build a palace in you. He will do the hard work if you will do the hard work with him because he loves you, because he wants something better for you. He sees what you can be. You are not a lost cause. You are not too far gone. I know somebody needs to hear that today. You just need to know that. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 147. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He's like, come on in. I know you're a mess. It's all right. That's the point. I'm the only one who can heal you. You've tried this your whole life, and you've done a pretty decent job with that front room, but can I heal every part of you? Imagine what that would be like if we were healed and clean in every part of ourselves. And if you've done the hard work, I celebrate you. Many have. Many are in that process. Don't stop. Just keep doing house checks. Jesus, take a look. Where else can we work? What else needs to happen? Let's catch it before it becomes a big problem. Philippians 1:6, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He will not give up on you. He will see it through. So let him pass the front room. Invite him into every other room. And those could be, you know, I'm just kind of winging this, but your kitchen, the area of your life, the things that feed you and satisfy you, the bedroom, your private thoughts, your hopes and dreams, your loneliness, your questions about identity, purpose, sexuality, orientation. Jesus can heal all these things. Your office, the work, ambition, success, and money, garage, projects, dreams, future plans where things get done or things sit unfinished. The basement, old memories, things taking up space that you don't need, embarrassing aspects of yourself. And that secret room, the wounds, the trauma, the vows and agreements we've made. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Okay, see if there is any offensive way in me. Okay, but lead me in the way everlasting. Walk me out of it. Whatever you got for me, Jesus, walk me out of it. Go ahead, Jesus, I give you full access. Open every door, inspect every space, and it might look like this. It's maybe things that are just clutter in your life. Jesus still would like to clean that up and organize it, bring clutter. For example, for me, like 4 years ago, I collected comics for like 30 years, you guys, and it was fine. I loved it. And then all of a sudden, Jesus just like shifted things in me, and I don't even fully understand. I get it now. But at the time, it was just like, it kind of, the desire dried up, and then he was just like, sell all your comics, and I was like, okay. And it was like, I've learned enough to be like, okay. And I just, part of my life for so long, I just walked away from it. And now, I look back and I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing. I see how that had this little hold on me or whatever. I didn't know that in a moment. But sometimes he just wants to clean up the clutter. Or maybe it's things I secretly hope for. Here's some good things. If you invite Jesus in, things you secretly hope for, but you think are too big to voice. I can't tell anyone about this dream, this desire. I would love to do blank. Ah, they'd laugh at me. Ah, I'm not capable of that. And Jesus is like, what? Why did you tuck this away? Don't you know how big I am and what I can do? Like, let's go. You're the light of the world. I'm going to make a palace out of you. I want to do big things with you. Bring those things to light. And then, of course, things that need work that we're ashamed to admit. 1 John 1:8 and 9. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Cleanse us. Do you know, maybe you do know, how good it feels? Not to say, I'm a perfect Christian now, but to literally have been cleansed from things that you've carried for so long, and it's like, Jesus actually dealt with that. Oh, it feels good. Oh, I feel like I can do more for him, and I can live fully in all these ways. So what does that look like for you as we wrap up? What does it look like for you this week? It could be things like this. Spending personal time in prayer and confessing and receiving forgiveness for things in your own life. It could be confessing to someone else, an accountability partner, a friend, a spouse, a pastor. Ooh, that's renovation sometimes. It's hard, but it's so helpful. It's getting a book like Experience Jesus, really. I think there's a link in the church notes by John Eldridge, a great book to help walk through that process. sign up for Freedom Session. I will ring that bell for the rest of my life. Go to Freedom Session. Everything I'm talking about here, you watch what it can do. It's incredible. And also come up here at the end of service. We'd love to pray for you. Seriously, if you've never done that before, you're like, I don't know. Why not today? Why not come up and receive some prayer? Today is your day to say yes to Jesus. We need to be a church full of renovated hearts. And it doesn't happen in one prayer, but it does start there. So can we stand? We're going to wrap up. And we're going to do this in two parts. In a minute, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, just a salvation prayer, basically saying, Jesus, I know you're knocking. I am letting you into my life. And then after that, we're going to take 2 minutes or so, and Jeremy's going to lead us in a song. It's called Clean. And I want it to just be a moment where after you've said yes to Jesus, now just sit in that. And almost like let Jesus do a tour of your heart. Just invite him in and just sit in that and let him do a good work because he is here. He works in our lives. And so I want to invite you to close your eyes. And I want to invite you that if you know, it's like today's the day I have got to just hand over my life, my home to Jesus because he can do something so much better than I could ever do on my own. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with all of us. And why don't we just say, Jesus, I open the door to my heart, the center of who I am. Come in. I choose to trust you, and I believe you will make your home in my heart. Shape my life according to you and your ways. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse my heart and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I want to invite you just stay in that posture and just stay standing, but close your eyes, and Jared's just going to lead us, and let this be a moment where now that we've invited Jesus in, let's let him do a good work only he can do.
Precious blood has left me forgiven, pure like the whitest of snow, and powerful to make sin and shame retreat. This covenant is making me whole. So I will rise and lift my head. By his mercy, my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. And purify my heart in your presence. And teach me to discover joy of holiness that forms as you draw me close. In you what was lost is restored. So I will rise and lift my head. By his mercy my life was spared. Highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. So I will rise and lift my head. For by his mercy, my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.